Hey guys, this is Whitney and you're listening to Meet the Owner. Today I have with me the beautiful, the CEO. She's a speaker, she's an author, she's an actress, she's a model, singer. The list goes on and on. Today I have Africa Miranda with me. Africa, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm like, that's, I love a good intro. Yes, thank you.
How's your day going?
It's going well. I had an audition this morning.
How was that?
It was good. Okay. Anytime a casting director tells you that's excellent, I'll take it. You know,
okay. I'll take excellent.
Right? Yeah.
That's good. I know we were talking yesterday, and we were supposed to record this morning.
And then,
I'm like, no, focus on your audition.
You gotta I appreciate that. Yeah,
for sure, for sure. Because I'm sure it's like it's a mental thing. It's a emotional thing. It's a physical thing. Because you gotta really get ready to do that.
You do, and I'm doing better about realizing that. Oh, I can't just do every I can run and do the podcast interview and then run and do my audition and then run. Yeah.
You're like, no, I can just do it before, right? I'm like. Maybe you should.
Yeah. Thanks for that push.
Yeah,
because when I was at the audition, I was like, I'm glad I didn't kill myself trying to go do something before this.
So, right. Yeah. For sure. For sure. I want to talk about so many things. I want to talk about where you're from. Let's start there. Where are you from or where were you born?
I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, but I was raised in Montgomery, Alabama. My mother and I moved to, my parents separated and then ultimately divorced. And I moved to Alabama when I was three. So Alabama is home. Like I still have family in Boston. But my home, I'm from Alabama.
Okay, and do you go back often?
Not as often as I would like, but I was just home for a family baby shower in August. But that was maybe the second time I'd been back this year. So every few months.
And so you grew up in Alabama. Mm-hmm. So how was life there?
It's Alabama.
Yeah.
It's funny when you're in it, at the time growing up, all I wanted was just to get out.
Yep.
But I will say that as an adult looking back, I had a very, it's a great way to grow up because, community is real. It's safer.
Yep.
The weather's amazing. And it's just, I did get to have a traditional, in most ways, childhood, I'd say, as opposed to city life. And I see kids on the subway going to class and it's just, we got dropped off or you rode the bus,
right.
It just was just a different
type of
upbringing. Yeah.
Yeah. What about your schooling? When you went to school, what was your dream job?
I just wanted to be Whitney Houston. That was really whatever that meant and all of its fabulousness. But no, I was very involved in the arts and in academics growing up. I'm in both a track of both programs. I started playing the violin when I was maybe three. Started then onto piano. And so elementary school was in an academic gifted program. And then junior high split off and started doing more arts. So I went to a magnet school that was a combo of academic tracking and arts tracking. So I was in both doing piano and dance, but then also I guess they call them the more intensive academic courses. And then in high school, went to a solely academic program and didn't really pick up a lot of the arts again until I would say until college.
Gotcha. It sounds like you knew what you wanted to do. Knew it was...
Yes and no. I knew what I wanted to do, but I also knew what was accepted for me to say that I wanted to do, if that makes sense. Because I think I told myself, I would say, if people asked me what I wanted to do, I was like, I'm going to go to law school. Because that's what, a lot of my friends, because we were in the academic program, so people were tracking for law school or med school or engineering. And it's just, I was intrigued by the law, even though I still always had, creative leanings. But it just kind of became this thing of, that's what, people want to hear you say. Tell black people, I'm going to law school. They're great.
It's either law, you want to be a lawyer, a doctor.
Something very established and respectable.
Right.
And that is one thing I will say growing up in the South is that respectability politics is real.
Right.
And I found that I was saying it, not to say that I didn't want to do it at all, but it definitely, you get a certain reaction, so that's what you say.
Mm-hmm.
But in the back of my mind, and I would say within my heart, I always wanted to be more creative.
Okay. So at what point did you say, I'm not going to pursue law because that's not really what I want to do?
Right after college, because I did not take the LSAT. Everybody's starting to take the LSAT, and I was just like, that's another test.
So many tests.
I wasn't feeling it, and I wasn't really sure about wanting to go to grad school. So, it was at that time, everybody's taking the GRE and the LSAT, and I kept dragging my feet. And I didn't do it. And then right after graduation, I was offered a position with the university as a recruiter. So I literally graduated in May and spent the summer on contract with the university, recruiting new students.
Okay.
And then when the contract was up, shall I say, I had this woman who ran the office who was a bit of a hater and did not renew my contract.
Oh, no.
But when my contract wasn't renewed, I was offered a position with the governor's staff of Alabama.
Okay.
Because I was also like intrigued by politics.
Okay.
And Montgomery's the capital of Alabama. So, you know, state capitals there. I had friends, parents who were judges and things like that. So I had always like, that's kind of like the thing you would do too growing up. You volunteered on campaigns and that kind of thing. So I was, you know, connected within the political scene.
Okay.
And I was the youngest political appointee to the governor's office at that time.
Nice.
And I started working as like an executive assistant to one of the cabinet members and just kind of threw myself into that. But again, in the back of my mind,
you're just like, this is
I still wanted to be, you know, something creative. And so I would say maybe a year in, I was still kind of dabbling in music as much as you can, you know, when you're like working full time. But I started driving to Atlanta on the weekends because Atlanta is about a two-hour drive from
and
Montgomery.
And it's a music town.
And, it was then and it's as it has grown to definitely be now. And I started like linking with writers and producers and recording. And I would say after about a year of that, it was funny. Atlanta ended up not being the thing that made me quit my job. It was New York. I had a cousin who went to NYU, and we hung out 1 year for All-Star Weekend, maybe like a couple years after graduation.
Okay.
And, you know, she and my family knew, of course, I still wanted to sing. And she was friends with a producer at the time who was, like, doing really well, the producer Bryce Wilson.
Okay.
If you remember from, like, Groove Theory. Mm-hmm. And she told him about me, and I spent, like, a few months. He would send me music to learn. I would have to sing for him on the phone and, like, send, you know, send recordings. And he ended up linking me with producers here in New York that were putting together a girl group. And I would say, and within like, the producers brought me up to meet me in person. We did a couple sessions. And within a week and a half, I had quit my job and moved to New York. I was like, I am out.
So you were on this path and things were just aligning. You came for a weekend trip. You met great people. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, I'm going to get into music now.
Well, and I think it was just one of those, I always knew I wanted a way out. And I am one of those people, like, even if I don't know how I'm going to get there, if I see it, I, you know, if I'm given the opportunity, I'm going to jump and take it. It wasn't something that I needed to weigh very heavily. I know I didn't want to like wear a navy blue suit and pearl. Like I love Olivia Pope, but that's like not, that was not, you know, that just wasn't my end all
that's
be
not
all.
You.
I was doing it because it was something that I was good at and, you know, and it was a good job or whatever, but it wasn't, didn't speak to anything like passionate within my spirit, like at all.
Yeah. And so you quit your job after a week and a half.
And moved to New York and was living right over the bridge in Cliffside, New Jersey. Like the girl that they had myself and the two other girls were like living in a townhouse and like recording in
and
New Jersey.
So you were going to be in this girl group.
Exactly.
And then, so you're recording with these girls and what comes of that?
Nothing. Because have you ever heard about me being in a girl group? Exactly.
I'm not.
I mean, you know, you learn when you look back over your life that things happen to get you here. Like it was needed to get me here. It was needed to get me, you know, certain connections within the industry and within the business that still look out for me to this day. But it wasn't, that was not, my destiny was not to be like in this girl group, because the girl group never happened.
It never
happened. You know, once it got me here, I never went back.
Yep.
And I just needed the push and, you know, the you know, to get me to New York.
For sure. And sometimes you do need those, I call them omens, that will be there in your life and they'll show you that, hey, you're on the right path.
Exactly. And more than that, you have to be open to it and ready to see it. Because I think we get a lot of these, but how many have we just ignored? Or we just were like, oh, I don't know. And, you know, you hesitate. And I do believe that you get multiple chances in your life.
But I don't think
they're infinite. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I think you get, like, there's a number that you're going to get. You know, because I think it's two things. It's like, you don't have to be so desperate that you have to jump at everything. But I think you have to have some level of discernment, because I don't think, like you said, it's just not going to be coming every week and forever and ever.
For sure. And you know what else I think it is, to your point? I think, you know, you have those omens and then you also have your intuition.
Absolutely.
So I think those two kind of align and that let you know that, hey, this is supposed to happen.
Right, this is the one, yeah.
And when you ignore your intuition,
tells
you this is what you're supposed to do, and you ignore it and you do the opposite, you're in a fight against yourself at that point.
You totally are. Like one of my favorite movies is this movie called Sliding Doors. And it's like it's a British film, but it's like really about like what happens with this couple or these people depending on like which train they get on.
Really?
But I do think life is like that. It's like what your life could be if you took this path, you know,
it's
but
the
then
right
by not taking it, you know, it sets you on another track. And I mean, I still have things that I hate to use the word regret, but I do wonder sometimes, like, had I really followed through on these opportunities or taken advantage of it, you know, what life would look like now.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm a firm believer of everything happens for a reason. And you're on this path that you're on now because of the track that mm-hmm. you took. So the girl group never happened.
Right.
You're in New York. Well, in Jersey. In New York, rather.
Yeah, I was in Brooklyn at this point. Yeah. When I left the girl group, I was like crashing on my cousin's couch right. in Brooklyn until I got right. a place. So I was in New York doing the
That's
New York
thing. That's what you
got
to do. Exactly. Right. And so what happens then? You're like, okay, I'm not in a girl group as I thought.
Right.
What am I going
to
do?
Well, I mean, I spent the next few years like doing, I guess, what all creatives do when they're like moved to New York trying to make it happen. Like I was temping. I was in the studio. Mm-hmm. I was meeting producers. I got a band together. I started performing like at venues all over the city. So I did like SLBs and like, you know, all the spots that you do, was trying to get meetings. And you're just in that grind of like trying to be found and discovered and chosen. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, like temping random jobs and just like hanging out and partying, you know, just like living in New York and having a lot of fun.
In your quest, I guess, mm-hmm. to be discovered.
Yeah.
When did that moment happen for you?
I mean, has it happened?
Has it happened?
I mean, because to be honest, I don't know that I can look back on any area of my life and say, like, this is like the moment where I was discovered. Mm. I think when the changes in my career really started to take hold were yep. when, in many ways, I discovered myself.
Mm.
It wasn't something that was external. It was really tapping into the things that I realized that, okay, that these are my, this is my skill set. This is what I can do. And if these are, like, what hasn't been working, what do I want and yep. what can I change? And I think that's honestly where the shift was. And then from there, opportunities that were more in line with my purpose came.
There you
but
go.
I definitely don't
there
have like a story
go.
Where like somebody saw me and was like, come, like you're it. Like, no.
What you just said, I live by that, because you know what? When you start to figure out
mm-hmm.
your purpose or yeah. try to do things to help you figure out your purpose.
Yeah.
As you said, the opportunities will align with that purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think so many people, you know, either miss opportunities or feel like they're not getting those opportunities mm-hmm. is because they're not aligned with their purpose.
Exactly.
So when you try to align yourself with that purpose, the opportunities will flow.
Oh, totally.
They'll flow and it'll be like, oh, this is what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm doing this. Or this is why I'm in this place or connected with these people
exactly.
or whatever the case. Things started to happen in your career where mm-hmm. you were going for music, I'm gonna temp at all these places.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened after you were doing all of the New York things?
I got the New York burnout, you know, is what tends to happen. It's just, you know, you're here, you're like, you're working, working, working. You have so many almost. And I was exhausted. And I left New York. I moved to Atlanta, was not doing anything creative, helped a friend launch a business. And it was doing well. And from there, kind of just like fell into modeling, because somebody was like, oh, you should go by this agency. I was like, okay, sure. And then within 6 months, like booked my first campaign. And then like, honestly, that's where a shift happened, because I was working then.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
was doing like print campaigns and billboards. And then I booked my first national commercial, and then more followed, and then booked like TV and then film. And then the show happened on Bravo. And
I see
it's
that.
Like that was
I
kind of
that.
The snowball effect. So it was really just changing my surroundings. And I think I had to relinquish the dream for a moment.
Okay.
Because I was so like focused on like seeing myself. I was like, I was here because I'm supposed to be a singer. And like, that's my destiny. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing. But I had like other talents that I have and that I had developed and studied mm-hmm. and crafted in my mm-hmm. life. But I was ignoring them because I was so focused on just this one vision of what success was supposed to look like.
Mm.
But it was killing me.
Mm.
And I had to just relinquish it. And I think once I relinquished that to the universe, so many other things were brought to me and opportunities. And I look at where my life is now. And had I never let one dream go, I would never have been fulfilled so many times over. Mm. You know,
I love
the way that I am now.
Question for you, because mm-hmm. a lot of people are conflicted between, you know, people talk about a plan A and a plan B.
Of
and
course.
Some people are like, you stick with plan A, you won't need a plan B.
Other
people are like, you know, have a plan B in case plan A doesn't
right.
work. In your instance where you say, you know, you relinquished your plan A
mm-hmm.
and kind of followed the other talents that you had, would you suggest that people, based on your answer, I
right.
know you're going to say, do you suggest that people have multiple plans and mm-hmm. alternate between them, or just focus on that one plan and do it until it works?
I think it's a mix of a little bit of all of it. Like, I look mm-hmm. at life, one of my views of life is that we are living, breathing, like, Google documents. Like,
yeah.
we are all, you know, we yes. should constantly be editing ourselves
mm-hmm.
and checking to see, you know, checking this part of it, making sure we're right, justified. We're,
yep.
you know,
yeah.
we should constantly be editing and reviewing our lives and to see where we are.
Yep.
So I say that to say, like, should you have goals for your life? Absolutely. Should
mm-hmm.
you have some sort of framework to follow? Yes. But you should not look at your life as this thing that is so set in stone because we are living, breathing organisms. Like, we're changing
every day.
Every seven years, you are literally a new body.
A new person.
So it's like, why are we still holding on to this one picture of ourselves? If we're being honest, we're not even the same.
We're not the same.
So I think it's just about, should you have the dreams? Yes. Should you have the goals? But I think you should recognize that your spirit needs to be open, because we are also, just by the mere fact that we're humans, limited to what we can even see for ourselves.
I know.
So we can't even fathom the level, the degree of greatness that we can even achieve. Yep. So you just have to be open.
I love that. So talk to us about the show. How is that experience for you?
It's a lot of work, but it's amazing. So, the Africa Miranda Show is my new project in partnership with Facebook, and it's part of Facebook Watch programming. And it was an opportunity that came to me earlier this year, around May, June, they reached out. And have I always wanted to have my own talk show and programming? Of course.
Yeah.
But it wasn't something that I had on the books for myself this year. I was like, it was a goal for at some point in life, but not a 2018 goal by any means. But when they brought it to me, I wasn't going to be like, well, no, I can't do it right now because I have other plans. Because again, we said we're a document. We can be edited.
And you're open.
And I just said, okay, this opportunity has come. You know, this is a chance for me to do something in my voice and to have a platform like that come to you and say, we've been watching the work that you've created and the work that you do and your audience, and we want to work with you. It's confirmation of the years of work, that I've been doing.
Exactly.
And I just said, okay, I hear you, universe, let's get to it. And, to be able to executive produce my own project, to have a crew entirely of color, to be led by my lead producer and director, who is another black woman. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud. Mm-hmm. It's so much work, but I'm so enjoying the process.
And it's worth it,
Absolutely.
It's worth it to be surrounded by, as you say, people that look like you and can relate to you, and you guys are all working hard toward the same goal. It feels good to do that. So you have this show on Facebook Watch. You have your own skincare line or your beauty line.
I do. I do all the things, y'all.
You do it all.
Well, Beauty by Africa Miranda is my luxury skin and body care line. It's inspired by travel because travel has been so transformative in my life. Just every part of me moment, I would say about maybe a little over 10 years ago when I really started, doing a lot of international travel, it changes your worldview so much. And I had reached a point in my career a few years ago where it was time to have something to offer my audience other than myself.
Yes.
Events are great and hosting things are great, but I can't physically, it's just not something physically that I can keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And financially, it's just not a good business model because I'm the only product.
Yep.
So I was, people had kind of approached me about different things, and people were like, a hair product or this. And I was like, I don't really want to do a hair product. Well, because just also too, when you look at market, is there something really that you can add or a new story or a way to tell it? And unless my family had some secret hair cream that was going to make your hair grow to your feet, I just was like, there's a lot of great brands out there. They're doing it well.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Yep. But I looked at with my audience, one of the things, the thing that people ask me about most after my hair is skin.
I was going to say, because your skin is flawless.
Thank you.
Your face is beautiful.
I am very diligent about my skincare, honey. But that is something that I get a lot of questions about. And I was actually at a point a few years ago where I was having a lot of issues with my skin. I was having really bad hormonal breakouts. And so I was like, okay, this is perfect timing. Let's kind of delve into that. And we can marry it for the brand story with my love of travel. So the line is really what I like to call beauty souvenirs, because each product is inspired by a specific destination.
Love that.
And it has ingredients that are indigenous to that area.
Love
and the
that.
Scent and the texture. Everything about each product will evoke the feel, of the place. So it's never going to be a line where I look at it and say, I'm replacing your entire skincare regimen. Here's your cleanser, here's your toner. It's like, no.
In addition to.
Exactly. Specialty items to go right in.
I love that. So on the topic of beauty, I watched a video.
Okay.
Of you talking about cosmetic surgery and financing.
Yes.
Before I get too deep into that, I want to ask you about your, first of all, you are the owner of yourself. You are the owner of your heritage, your tradition. Your name is Africa. Hello. And so I love the fact that, just scrolling through your Instagram, I love the fact that you are unapologetically you and you represent that and you love that and you're proud about it.
Yeah.
On the topic of beauty and the standards in the industry,
right?
Do you think that this is something that women of color specifically struggle to cope with financing your boobs. And, and not many women of color know about financing that. They don't know about that there's other options. So what are your thoughts on just beauty standards for women of color in the industry?
I mean, they're skewed, but and that's because this world is skewed because whiteness is still the standard of beauty, even though it's like whiteness with some of us wrapped up in it. But if they present our features their way, it's still more accepted than us being authentically ourselves. You know, my whole thing with beauty is just I want all women to feel free to do whatever it is that they need to do, especially Black women, to survive and feel happy and feel good, you know, in this world. It's like I think I have more access to information because I'm also like in this industry. So, you know, like my first girlfriend that got hers done, when she told me she got it financed, I was like, wait, what? Because you just...
you don't know about
But and also because like just culturally, it's just not things that we talk about. So I'm always like, let's have, I'm like, let's put these conversations on Front Street so that one, we have the information, we can make like educated decisions and do them safely. And nobody's saying you've got to go in debt behind some plastic surgery if you, if you so choose. You know, the hard part is that, you know, as great as social media is, it has definitely played into... I think we now have such like literal representations of what's celebrated because you see, you can see a photo get like a million likes and you can see another one not get. You can see the brands that you like. Because before, like with brands that you may want, like you may like a hair company or a clothing company, we would just see one or two ads in a magazine or maybe a commercial. Now you can go every day and look at this brand's feed and see whether or not they even are like using any women that look like you.
That's true.
And it's just, it's so, it makes it hard. Like, I mean, all, I look at stuff and I'm like, well, do I feel okay today? You know, it's just, it's impossible. We're humans. It's impossible not to be affected by it. And so it's just, it's, there's, it's hard.
That's true. It is hard. And as you said about Instagram, you know, you see these constant images of people that are either appropriating the culture or are not appreciating the culture, or there's just so many things that are going on in the beauty industry, and it's just like people struggle to either be themselves and who they are, or they want to look like and be someone else.
I know. And it makes like an, and not to say, and I don't want to use the word average meaning like not important, but it makes, because we're all on the same platform, you can be a woman who's just going to work every day, but you're feeling like you have to compete with, you know, an Instagram model who's getting a million likes. And it's just like, it's not even...
It's,
And it's, but it just, so it makes everybody crazy.
It does. It does.
It makes everybody crazy.
I was just having a conversation about social media with someone who doesn't have an Instagram, and she's just like, so she's like, Instagram makes me want stuff that I don't need.
Exactly. Because it's literally a life commercial for everything all day, every day.
All day, every day. And, you know, now they have the ads running through photos all day long. And, you know, it's a gift and a curse.
Absolutely.
So you are an author and you have written a book.
Like, and that.
And guys, actress, singer, she's an author. You have written a book.
Yes.
The Idea. Of wanting to write a book.
Well, I mean, I've always, I, you know, in college I majored in English literature, so I've always loved writing, but when I was younger, it was more like short stories and, you know, creative writing. I didn't, I mean, I always felt that I've have like messages and like good words to give, but again, it was again something that I was like, oh, maybe I'll do later in life, you know, after I've lived some more. But Step Up, Step Out, and Shine came about thanks to Periscope.
Okay.
I was on Periscope very early. I think I joined within the first week that it was created and was able to like amass a really strong community very quickly. And I used to do these talent scopes where I talked to creatives, and a lot of it was about how to use social media to like leverage these platforms to make yourselves more visible. Because one thing I have been able to do in my career is really like make myself stand out. And a lot of that has been, be, you know, how I've leveraged using social to do that. And so one of the nights we were I was on there talking about it, and I was like, because what you need to do is step up. Step out and shine. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, we have something
wait a minute,
here.
This works.
And it really became, you know, a mantra that like people locked into. And it was real. And it's, but it kind of grew beyond just creatives because I would speak to other groups and entrepreneurs and just different types of people. And it resonated with them because really it's more about saying, what do you want more of in your life? Do you want your life to be more full? Do you want it to be more purposeful? Do you just want it to be more? Like in the dedication of the book, I say this is for people who want more and that believe that there is more.
because we don't have to just accept this version of ourselves or of our lives just as is, because that's what it is. We have some control and we can be active participants in our lives. And the book is really a guide to give you the tools to really identify where you can do that and help you on that journey.
I love that. Step up, step out, and shine.
Because I love who doesn't want to do that? You know?
It just, it fits perfectly with your lifestyle of always traveling and then traveling on this book tour.
Yeah. One thing that's been great about the book is that being able to, in a very specific way, like share specific stories and instances and things that have happened to me that are not public knowledge. Yeah. And, you know, but that have helped me along the way, because I think it's easy just to kind of, as we look, everyone says, like, social media is like your highlight reel. But I am at a place in my life where I feel it's very important to be honest and really say what is the truth and owning my own truth and sharing that. So, you know, for each stop in each city, like, I won't be reading the same passage from the book each city. So if you're kind of, you know, just know that. But I want you, and the thing is, the great thing is that I'm being joined in conversation by people and, you know, women in each city that I absolutely admire and that also have great stories of growth and personal truths to share. So I think it's really going to be something for people that come. When you, of course, you get the book, we're going to sign the books. Yep. We're going to do all that good stuff. But really just having, you know, honest conversations about shining and what it takes to get there.
Because everyone's journey is different.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the one thing that connects to people is the struggle.
And because it's so real.
And what you go through. And so you'll be connected to so many spirits and so many souls by what you went through. And they'll be able to connect with you by what they went through.
And then leaving with tools to get to the next step.
To get to the next step. And you have living proof, you sitting in front of them saying, hey guys, I've been through this, but this is where you can go.
Exactly.
You can step up, step out, and shine.
Because it's about finding your own personal truth. I'm not saying someone that your life needs to look like mine. This is what works for me. You know, and I am a continual work in progress. But it's really saying, like, how do you find that truth for yourself?
I love that, love that. And so right now in your career, what has been the highest moment for you?
I've had a few lately. And then it's, and I feel so blessed to be able to say that. The first was a couple of years ago when, like, I had the, you know, going from idea of a product to having an actual product that people can, like, buy, and, like, to see my customers say, like, it's made them love their skin again or makes them want to travel. It's just like, oh my God, like, I have, like, a real thing. Like, it's, this is not like an, you know, it's real. So that was a very, very special moment to me. A couple of weeks ago, I had a private screening for the first episode of the show. And, you know, because it's we do all this stuff for digital. So you watch on your laptop, on your phones. But it was actually, we held the screening at Warner Brothers Studios. And it was, you know, to see it on a large movie screen, I was like, oh my God. And it just, it's different, you know, because I'm an actress. I've seen my commercials and things like that. But this is like, this is mine. And it was, that felt amazing. And now with the book, like,
it's the tangible things,
exactly. Like, it's, and when you're a creative, you know, so much in your life is like making things that you hope somebody's going to see or resonate
or
with, you know, or buy, or even hoping it even makes it to that point. So the fact that I am so fortunate to now be on, like, a third thing that someone can see and touch and hold, like, it's beyond words sometimes. Like, I'm so grateful because I know that's not, it's not an everyday thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because it takes years and years of work, and sometimes things don't work out. But fortunately, they have worked out for you. So,
Working. I ain't gonna say worked out, but working.
Working. Okay, we'll say working. So we went to the highest of the high. You know, we've gotta talk about a low.
Oh, absolutely.
What has been a low point in your life that you have been through and got through?
Oh, I had a super low point last year when I was working on the book. I took a risk on a huge financial risk for a work project that I thought was gonna happen, did not happen.
Okay.
And it really derailed me financially for almost the entire year.
Really?
No, it was like last year was, but like, and it was hard because on the outside, the good thing about planting seeds is that they can, you know, some seeds can still be sprouting, but I was like, but the tree that I thought was going to have, nothing. So it was like, on one hand, I was featured in Vanity Fair last year. I had these other great things going on. I had this Macy's ad that ran, but on the other side, the project that I thought I was going to be doing for the entire year that was going to sustain me financially for the entire year, did not happen. And this was after I had made like other, like totally turned my life upside down to do
for
it.
For that one thing.
And it was hard because I felt so, one, you feel like I was totally beating myself up because I felt so stupid because I was like, yep. You know better.
Yep.
You're not supposed to change this yep. until you know that. But yep. it was, you know, a brand that I had worked with for a long time. So I just was like, oh, we have a great working relationship. It's absolutely going to be fine. And when it didn't, I didn't have a backup. I realized that I had not really built the foundation of my own personal business as strong as I should, okay. because that should not have derailed me the way that it did.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the only like real saving grace for me that I think that kept me from like going totally crazy was that I was working on this book
mm-hmm.
because that was already something that was happening. So I was okay. like, okay, I'm okay. working on this. And it forced me to really say, are the things that I'm saying for real or do they just sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay.
the whole idea of the book also is that yeah, as much as we'll be up, we will absolutely come down again.
For sure.
And the idea is that we need to have tools so that our lows are never so low and that we can just work this cycle and you don't like fall into utter despair because you're like, okay, this is a low. I know it's time to reset and step up again, step out again mm-hmm. so that the shine will be inevitable.
Ooh, look
and
at that.
I had to do it, but it was hard because you're just like,
yeah,
like again, like I thought this was supposed to be the smooth sailing part right. of life, but it was yet another test because I think when you are doing something like a book or creating content that is supposed to help people, mm-hmm. it's a huge responsibility. And I didn't want to be someone that was putting words out there to someone that I wasn't truly living. And I think that was God saying, like, we're gonna really make sure.
I was just gonna say, so do you think that moment?
Mm-hmm.
As bad as it was.
Oh, it was horrible. But
do you think that was that trying moment that said, you're writing this book about experiences
mm-hmm.
and showing people and telling people how to get
what they need to be doing,
but,
right?
But let's really see if you can get through
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Isn't that crazy?
No, it is. It's insane. And it was, but it caused me to really like self-work is so real.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it caused me to like reflect on myself and my choices and just how I looked at things on such a deeper level than mm-hmm. I never had before. And because I even left New York because of the project. And
oh, okay.
And so when I came back, I was like, I'm coming back to New York with a new perspective.
Yep.
And when I say within the last 6 months, my life has turned, like I said, the Facebook show had, like, it's just when I say I've had so many opportunities that I've never had. And I know it's because I shifted my perspective.
And was this after you finished the book?
So you while I was in the near the okay. ending of the books, I hadn't okay. finished it yet, but I was like getting near the end of the book.
The test was over. The mm-hmm. lesson was done.
Absolutely.
And you got through it. The book is finished. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, the opportunity just floated.
It was unreal. Unreal. Like,
yeah.
it, like when I tell you, it's even now, I feel like every week or every month something happens where I'm just like, this too. Like,
yeah.
I'm so thankful and I'm mm-hmm. so grateful. But I also know I could tell the shift happened to myself and it was so evident in every area of my life.
That's so amazing. So the advice that you would give someone who's going through that tough time.
Yeah.
What would be that piece of advice that you would give to that person?
The first question that I had to start asking myself was instead of saying, why did this happen to me, is why did this happen for me?
Mm.
Because...
Can you just repeat that again?
Well, no, it's just instead of asking, why did this happen to me? I had to start asking, why did it happen for me?
Yes.
I changed my prayers. Because the thing is, we pray a lot and it's so narcissistic. I realized we're like, well, I need this and can you do this for me?
Mm-hmm.
And can I have
mm-hmm.
this? And I just started looking at areas of my life with people who were challenging to me or people that drove me crazy or just situations. And I just started praying for people. Like I really started shifting everything off of myself
yep.
into praying for people. And for like, and if this person is hard to work with, then let me pray for them and whatever's going on. You know, it just because it was again, we look at everything through the lens of ourselves, and I
yes.
just had to start shifting it. And I asked for a change in perspective.
Okay,
and I had to really look at myself and accept my own responsibility because
mm-hmm.
I did go off and make some changes without having all my business in order,
mm-hmm.
and I did do these different things. So if you are in this low place, feel it. Like first, I would never tell somebody run from it because you need to feel how
you
bad
need
it
to
is.
Be in it.
You need to feel it one, so you don't want to feel it again.
Yep.
And two, to really like take that moment to reflect on what is your part in it, because the only thing I would say separate from traumas of like abuse and things like that, then
right.
no, you don't play a part in that.
Yep.
But if it's something other parts of our lives, we usually have
mm-hmm.
some onus that we can
yeah.
take because
yeah.
it's very easy when you're feeling low to totally victimize yourself and say, well, it's this and they didn't do that. Like it's everybody else. And we are in control of our lives.
Yes, from start to finish.
So to take that time for self-reflection, to ask yourself what, you know, when I have the opportunity to change my life and when things start to turn, what can I do differently? Mm-hmm. Like, look at every area of your life. I had to look at my emotional health, my financial health, my physical health. Just there were so many things that I was kind of running from.
Yep.
And I had to use that time to face everything that made me uncomfortable, everything that made me angry, everything that just I didn't like, mm-hmm. and really sit in it and start dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's amazing. So, you know, you've had a very successful run in your life and career.
I'm just getting started, right?
From being an author and mm-hmm. actress, singer.
What's next? I love producing.
Okay.
Like, I love producing. And, you know, I would love, of course, to see the African Branded Show grow to an even larger platform. And, I'm so excited about that. But I would love the opportunity to have a production company that provides. There's so many of us that have great ideas and projects yes. that need opportunities. And I would really love the opportunity to have a production company that gives others a way to tell their stories as well. Because we just have so much content.
But so
you need
much.
Access. You need funding.
So
you need, you know.
It's so much. You see on Twitter, there's Black Twitter mm-hmm. that makes everything go viral.
Exactly.
You know, it's like when we start to talk about something and we make the memes and the jokes mm-hmm. and the whatever.
Right.
It's trending.
Immediately. And then it gets taken and run with and nobody gets credit. Yeah.
But it's because we're so creative and mm-hmm. have so many ideas. It's just that one void with, like as you said, funding.
Yeah.
And being able
and
to
access
actually,
and yeah.
access. Being able to produce those mm-hmm. ideas. So that's amazing that you want to start yeah. a production company. And that'll definitely help with people who have those ideas and, yeah. and want to flesh those out. Production company is next mm-hmm. on the horizon.
Yeah.
So what else is something that people should, I guess... Well, I guess the book tour. I was going to say, what else should people be?
I'm learning to also, like, I'm like, okay, I have to focus where I know. Because I'm like, well, then next year. So the book tour is kicking off October 8th in New York. So it'll be, I'm in New York at Barnes & Noble on Fifth Avenue.
That's amazing.
And October 11th, we'll be in Atlanta at Midtown Collective. I'm like, all this information is on my social. Please RSVP mm-hmm, and get you some mm-hmm. tickets.
Link in the
and
bio.
Come out. Yes, link in bio, all caps.
All caps.
October 17th, I'll be in Chicago, and that actually is going to be a little different because I'll be at the University of Illinois at Chicago. So I'll instead of doing like a traditional talk back, it'll be student leaders doing a Q&A.
Nice.
So that'll be nice. October 26th, I will be in D.C. at Mahogany Books.
Nice.
And a bestselling author and Ty Alexander of Gorgeous and Gray mm-hmm. will be my special guest.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll be in Houston November 1st, and
okay.
that's going to be a night of books and beauty. So that's going to be a little
Ooh.
Something a little different.
Okay.
And then I wrap up the tour in LA on November 8th.
Okay.
But I will say for anyone listening, if you would like for me to come to your city.
Make a request.
Make a request.
And how should they do that? Should they
you can reach me. You can reach me at connect@africamiranda.com.
So I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank
I'm so
you.
Glad that you made time within.
No, absolutely.
With, you know, between your auditions and the book tour.
We make it work.
So thank you so much again for joining me.
Thank you.
So tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Okay. You can find me everywhere on social at Africa Miranda. So no dots or spaces. Africa, A-F-R-I-C-A. Miranda. That is my real first name and my real last name. And I'm the only one on social. So yes.
So awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Africa, thank you so much again
thank
for
you.
Joining me today. Guys, be on the lookout for her book tour and get the book.
Yes,
step
please.
Up, step out and shine.
And shine.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, guys. I'm Whitney and you're listening to Meet the Owner.